The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, a.k.a. Prince William and Kate Middleton, are on their latest royal tour. They began earlier this week in India, and they'll be back there tomorrow when they visit the Taj Mahal. But for the past 2 days, they've been visiting a place that not many people get to go, Bhutan. They've had dinner with Bhutan's young king and queen. They both tried out a bit of archery. That's Bhutan's national sport. And today, they hiked 10,000 feet up the Himalayas to visit a monastery.
How are you finding the climb?
Beautiful.
Easy.
Easy?
Well, it's all been great publicity for Bhutan, which relies heavily on tourism to support its economy. Joining us now with more on this little-known country is Lisa Napoli. She wrote the book Radio Shangri-La, What I Learned on My Accidental Journey to the Happiest Place on Earth. Lisa, welcome to Here and Now.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, you've been to Bhutan several times, many more times than your average person or average tourist. Remind us where it is exactly.
Bhutan is sandwiched between Tibet and India. It's a little landlocked country with only 700,000 people. And yes, most of us, I didn't even know about it until I got invited there years ago.
Mm. Now, it's not actually that easy to get to, given the description of where it's located so far. You can't just get on a plane and go, right?
Right. There's a very complex tourist visa that they have in effect because they want to keep as many people out. They didn't even have tourists until the 70s or much infrastructure until the 60s and 70s. So, yes, it's very hard. You have to go through a licensed tour operator. You can't just book a plane.
Hmm. Interesting. So they want to control the number of tourists who are coming into Bhutan. But on the other hand, William and Kate visiting there seems to be quite a boon for the tourism industry of Bhutan, no?
Apparently, wherever they go, yes, there's a boon and, you know, the afterglow effect. And people there, of course, are hoping for the same because Bhutan relies heavily on tourism, as you say, even though they want to regulate it because they just don't have the infrastructure to accommodate, a huge sea of people coming in. But it is very costly to go there. And, there's a cascading effect when people do go, a ripple effect. So many people have to work for each tourist who comes. So, yeah.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Bhutan's young king and queen, king and his wife, I should say, are actually known, do I have this right, as the William and Kate of their own country? I
mean, they are.
Yeah.
They got married not long after Will and Kate, and they're as alluring to the Bhutanese and to other royal watchers around the world as Will and Kate are. And in fact, if you look up their wedding online, it was a 5-hour Buddhist ceremony that makes Will and Kate's look kind of humdrum and dull because it's such a colorful, steeped in Buddhist tradition wedding. And they're young, attractive. She's quite stunningly beautiful. And he's, very dashing himself. So, yeah, they cut the same kind of figure that Will and Kate do. And people have the same reaction to them as Will and Kate. Mm.
Now, it is a Buddhist kingdom, as you mentioned. And the father of the current king, though, in fact, he evicted a vast number of people from Bhutan in the 1990s. What was the problem there?
It's a dark side of Bhutan that the Bhutanese don't like to talk about and hasn't been resolved. But yes, there was some ethnic strife in Bhutan dating back even before the 90s. And a number of people were asked to leave the country who were Hindu. And, it created a stateless group of people who were settled in refugee camps in Nepal. They weren't accepted back into Nepal, where many of them had come from. To begin with, they'd been brought in to help build the infrastructure in Bhutan. And now many of those people have been resettled, mostly in the United States, in the last 20 years of this strife. So it's an interesting and troubling part of Bhutan's history that, as I say, isn't talked about very often.
Yeah. You know, Lisa, one thing we haven't yet talked about is maybe the one thing that some people, if they know anything about Bhutan, they've heard of. And that is, this is a country that for many decades has measured its prosperity by gross national happiness and not necessarily
yes.
gross domestic product. I mean, that's something that they decided to use as a metric a long time ago. And I'm seeing here, though, that on the other hand, the Bhutan's economy, they're relying more on tourism, as you talked about, and hydropower now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Their economy is growing at 7%. So there's some forces of modernity at work there. I mean, how is that working out vis-a-vis the gross national happiness that the Bhutanese so value and treasure?
Well, it's such an interesting contrast because, you know, remember, this is a place that didn't have television until 1999, and it's a place that didn't have a lot of outside influence. And so before that, it was easier to be happy, so to speak, because people couldn't see what they didn't have. You know, if you're a poor subsistence farmer with your family around you, you may not have a lot of money and you may struggle to get by, but you have everything you need right there. You're not looking to the outside world. So it's a place that's very, what's captivating about it to me is it's a place that's very much in transition in the last decades into the modern world and all of the good things that come with that, but also the troubling things that come with it, too. So.
Well, Lisa Napoli is author of Radio Shangri-La, What I Learned on My Accidental Journey to the Happiest Place on Earth. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.